Today we want to think on the subject of listening and learning. And we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Now, earlier when we looked in James, we were dealing with problems. And the last time we looked at James, we looked at how good God is. Even when we're going through trials, God is good. But in trials, sometimes it's easy for us to feel cheated, like God isn't fair to us, or perhaps others aren't fair, and people just don't understand what we're going through. And sometimes it's easy for us to feel sorry for ourselves and want others to know how bad things really are for us. And we're quick sometimes to lash out at others. But the sad thing about that is that sometimes the ones that we lash out at and hurt the most are those that we love the most, whether it's our spouse or our children or our parents. But Scripture here in James 1 gives us a principle that's very important, and we want to look at verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, notice he begins verse 19 with wherefore. And we got to tie that together with what he said before. Because of God's perfect love for us, and because of his purposes behind trials that we face, this is how we should act. And then notice those that he addresses, and also referring to us, he speaks of them as beloved. They are loved by God. Regardless of the trials we face, we're still the objects of his great love. God doesn't allow trials or send trials into our life because he doesn't love us. It's just the opposite. He does love us. And it's the same at home when parents discipline their children. The children are still the objects of their love. That doesn't mean that the parents hate their children. And when he's talking here, it doesn't mean that God hates us. He dearly loves us. And then notice also he says, beloved brethren. You see, when we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been born into the family of God, and we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now notice, after he addresses them, he says, let every man, and then he tells what they should do. Now when he says let, he's telling them that they can choose how they react. You see, we choose how we're going to react in the midst of trials or problems. And he said, here's how we should react. Be swift to hear what God has to say, hear what his word says, or also be swift to hear what others say, but also then we need to be slow to speak and slow to anger or slow to react in an angry way. Now, the natural reaction is just the opposite. So when others speak or criticize us or slander us or speak falsely of us or correct us or try to help us, we need to ask within ourselves, why do they say that? Have I given them reason to say that? Is there something I need to learn? And if that's true, then we need to pray, Lord, help me to change. Help me to learn. Help me to do a better job. Help me to be more careful. But if what they say is not true, then we need to realize that it's just a part of living for the Lord. And we need to pray, Lord, give me boldness to remain true and faithful regardless of what it cost. Now, don't turn here, but in 1 Peter 2, 12-15, after talking about trials, he says, with much well-doing. In other words, in the face of trials, obstacles, we need to do well. We need to do what God wants us to do, not what our natural reaction might be. And then in 1 Peter 2, 18-24, he gives the example of Christ, how he faced so much opposition, and it was even to the point of death. But it wasn't because he deserved it. He didn't deserve it. He was sinless, perfect. And when he died for us, for our sins. He died because he loved us. So he was faithful in doing what he had come to do. Now notice also in James 1:19, he says we need to be swift to hear. Or in other words, it's important that we listen to what people say. If our spouse brings up something over and over again, maybe there's a need that we are not meeting. Or maybe there is hurt inside. Or maybe there's a problem that they're afraid to tell us. So we need to listen to what they say. Listening can tell a lot about the spiritual needs of a person, whether they're growing in the Lord or whether they're going backwards. So we need to be good listeners to what people say, but we need to be slow to speak. Now, this doesn't mean that we never speak, but we need to make sure that what we say is what God would have us to say. We need to make real sure that we respond. If we respond, we respond in a godly, Christ-honoring way. And then he also tells us to be slow to wrath, or in other words, don't be easily upset. Don't be quick-tempered, but be calm and be gentle. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't ever get angry. You remember Christ, when he went into the temple, was upset because of the money changers and all of those that were making mockery out of the temple. But let's make sure that if we do get angry, it's for the right reason, and we're not quick-tempered and easily upset. Now, I want to read Romans 12, verse 19. And it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So, man's wrath, again in verse 20, it says in James 1, verse 20, it says, man's wrath does not work the righteousness of God. In other words, it doesn't, when we get upset real easy and we're quick-tempered, we do not show forth God's righteousness. We do not show forth a godly, Christ-like attitude. Now, the reaction of anger means we are not leaning upon Christ. We are not looking to him and trusting in him in the matter that we're facing. We're not allowing God to produce in us a godly character. Also, we are not showing forth a Christ-like spirit that can point others to Christ. and cause them to realize their need of Christ's righteousness. In Titus 2:10, it says that our conduct should adorn the gospel of Christ, or in other words, should adorn what we believe, what we teach, and what we preach. We should make it attractive, not make it so people don't want to listen or they turn away from what we have to say. You know, at Christmas time, we decorate a Christmas tree, and we decorate it to make it beautiful. Well, the attitude we display it as Christians will adorn the gospel. It will make it attractive so that people want to listen and pay attention to what we say. And then notice in James 1:21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness, and now I'll explain these next words later, but lay aside superfluity of naughtiness, and I'll explain what that means, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And notice that verse starts with wherefore, and so it points back to verse 20. Because of what I've said in verse 20, now you need to do this. Lay aside or separate yourselves from every act that will again, lay aside, or it's an act of the will again. We choose whether we're going to do what God says or if we're not going to do what God says. So he says, lay aside. Then he says, all filthiness or every act or spot of sin, every stain, don't let it be a part of you. And then that phrase that the King James uses, superfluity of naughtiness, it simply means lay aside every overflowing or an excess of sin. So whether what we do and how we respond is just a single act or wrong reaction here or there, or whether it's an excessive display of sin in our life, either way, whether it happens just once in a while or often, we need to put it away. We must not let it be a part of our lives, because both ways it hinders our growth in Christ's likeness, and it hinders pointing others to Christ. And then notice it says, and receive the engrafted word, or in other words, receive the word of God. You see, the word of God has power. It has power to save, and it has power to produce in us Christ's likeness. The Holy Spirit's able to use the Word of God and produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And the Word of God will do that. The Holy Spirit will produce those in our life if we're growing in the Lord and the Word of God has a definite part in our lives. And the Word of God can cause us to have right attitudes in the face of trials, regardless of what they are. And then notice when I read that, he calls it the engrafted word. I don't know if any of you have ever had surgery where you had a sore taken off of your skin or something, and then they grafted skin onto that spot where they removed the sore and that. But when that happens, the skin that they graft on becomes a part of your body. And So when he speaks of this as the engrafted word, he means we need to make the word of God a part of our lives. It should have a part in how we live. It should have a part in how we act, a part in what we do, how we serve the Lord. We need to make the Word of God a definite, regular part of our lives. So when the Word of God becomes a part of us, we live according to what it says, and we do what it says, and we're quick to listen to the Word of God, what God says, and we're quick to listen to what others say, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or bad, and respond accordingly. And we don't overreact. We don't act in anger or respond wrongly, but we react in a Christ-like manner because we want our lives to be a testimony to others. And we want others to come to know Christ through our lives and through the way we act and the way we respond. I trust that, first of all, you know Christ as your Savior, because all of this really doesn't mean a whole lot until, first of all, you're a child of God. And you do that by repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then after we're a child of God, we're one of His beloved brethren, then we need to respond in the ways that He referred to in James chapter 1, 19 to 21. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word that You've given us. And Lord, we love You, and we want to live how You want us to live. And we want to be a type of person that is calm and leans upon You and trusts You regardless of what we experience in life and what others have to say or do to us. Lord, help us to be a very godly, Christ-like people. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.